Good morning. Good morning, Bay Harbor. Hope you are doing well on this beautiful Monday morning. It is early in the morning, and we are here wanting to discuss yesterday's service. What an awesome time in God we had yesterday. If you did not join us, go back and listen to the full sermon. It was awesome. Hey, while we're waiting on people to get on, go ahead and share this video. Hit the share button in the bottom right corner if you're watching on Facebook. If you're on YouTube, send a text to your neighbors. Hey, jump on Bay Harbor's YouTube page. They're live, and they're going to recap yesterday's sermon. It was entitled, The Shout from Jesus. When Jesus Shouts. I knew it was Jesus Shouts. Yeah, I had to look at my notes. Yeah, it's right here, too. When Jesus Shouts. But I think we got some people on here, so... Any announcements, Pastor, you want to go with?
Let's make a couple of announcements.
Okay.
There was a wonderful feeling in the house, such an excitement. Worship was great. The team did a wonderful job with that, Pastor Jermaine. And we see our numbers continuing to climb every week as we see not only old faces that we haven't that are new to us, but also new faces that we haven't seen before. And so if you will, just continue to help us spread the word about what's happening in-house. And also, we're hearing reports about people that are watching online and part of the Bay Harbor family that way. And so we're so blessed about what God is doing in these times. So it is wonderful. We continue to take all the steps necessary. We wear a mask around here, even in the office today. We'll be wearing masks as we interact with people and with each other. We want to keep safe that way. So it was good. Also, last night came by and spent some time with the students as they were playing kickball and football and different things. Some of the girls were hurling that ball. And it was just a good time, just a good day in the Lord all together.
It was. And even yesterday morning, the kidmen and the bridge, I know the bridge is numbers are growing again. The kidmen numbers are growing again. And it's incredible. God is doing a great work here at Bay Harbor. And I am very honored and very humbled to be a part of what God is doing here and also in our community through us.
Our desire is not to feel the congregation, but for His presence to feel our lives.
Amen.
And so that is happening in large, partly because with people who are rededicating their life, coming to the Lord, seeking prayer, the testimonies of the miracle that God gave us this week, wonderful, wonderful acts of God. But it is coming, Bay Harbor, because you are spending time in prayer and fasting this month as we're cleansing our lives of all the things that don't need to be there with the belief that God is going to fill us with his presence and move mightily, especially within our land as we're getting close to the election. We are praying intensely that God would just move through all of this and so wonderful opportunities.
The last week of the prayer and fasting, and I say that, we're going to continue to pray, but the last week for official 31 days of prayer and 21 days of fasting, we have set aside to cleanse our heart, cleanse our land. Don't grow weary this last week, family. Continue, press through this last week. God's doing great things, and He's going
to
do great things.
Even this morning when we came in, it's just humbling to see people that would come literally across town.
Mm-hmm.
Out of their way before they go even further away to come in and spend time in prayer. It's just been amazing. And so we will actually end all of this on Saturday night with a time of worship. So Pastor Jermaine, tell us what we have on tap for that.
6 o'clock that evening. You definitely want to be out. We had a great time this past Thursday night. It was good to see those who were pouring in and just the spirit, the atmosphere that was actually created, an atmosphere of freedom. One that personally it just felt very refreshing to be a part of. So that's going to happen again, and we're looking for it to be just as dynamic or even more this Saturday night, 6 o'clock. And you don't want to miss it.
Hey, as you're coming on, make sure you comment in the feed and let us know you're here watching with us, and we'll try to get as many as we can throughout the thing.
And also with that, you can message in the feed, but call us, text us with the church phone number, 912-262-1227. We want to hear from you. We want to pray with you for your needs as we're continuing to believe God for great things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And people's been taking advantage of that, Pastor. Yesterday after the live stream, had several phone calls come in, and I'm thankful for those, so keep them coming in. Hey, let's get into yesterday. Awesome time. So when Jesus shouts, is this the last week? We have one more week of this is the last week, so next week we're starting another series. So y'all be ready for that new series starting next week. But this battle cry has been a great time of praise, and this the atmosphere here. You've already said it. The atmosphere here in house with the praise and your shouts has been incredible. But yesterday, I mean, let's just straight to it. Jesus is returning. Jesus is returning, and he's going to come with a shout of victory. Yeah.
He will, and we've seen the shouts that have gone out, not only the ones that we've talked about. Paul and Silas, there was a battle cry of prayer and praise to them, and when that happened, it released them from the bondage that it was in, physically, but also spiritually. And then Jonah, we don't think about it so much with Jonah. We didn't have time to talk about that, and won't have much time today. But in the second part of chapter 2 of Jonah, we see that he cried out to the Lord in prayer. It's a battle cry. But then he released praise to God. And as soon as that happened, God released him from the bondage that he was in. There's a correlation between this. But as believers, there's one more shout that we are looking to hear, not from ourselves, but that we are looking to hear. And that is the shout of Jesus when he descends from heaven to gather his people together.
So appropriately placed in this series too, because at the end, this is where it's all over. And you look at even the examples that you were talking about when Jesus opened his mouth, how things come to order, you know, in time. You know, and in particular, the Lazarus situation, you know, when he opens his mouth and how things that were dead start to come back alive. The Bible talked about the dead in Christ shall rise first, but a perfect example there, not when you broke it down in the sense of blood started flowing back into his veins and the organs that weren't working started to kick back in. It was just something at least to be able to look at and say, man, this is what we've all been waiting for right now at this point, for when Jesus actually shouts. Yes, it's great when we open our mouths and when we release a shout, praise, and we can see things happening, even if we can't see it at the time, but we know that something is happening. But when Jesus shouts, there's no doubt about it that something has happened. We'll all be able to see it. Even those who don't believe will be able to see what actually happens.
Well, the tie-in with that, Pastor Jermaine, is that, yes, it is Jesus's shout that authorizes the change. But Jesus has given us the authority. And through him, as we shout, the same things can happen. The dead can come to life. The situations in our life that we have not seen life in his case, for 4 days, for Lazarus, for some of us, it's been 40 years that we hadn't seen certain things that have been alive. But we have that authority. And I think sometimes that if we would just break through that, and we've talked about it throughout. You can shout to the wall, you can shout to the TV, you could shout to your husband, and nothing's going to change. But when it's proper praise, when we worship him with clean hands and pure hearts, then that is when we exercise the authority that we have. That's when there's a difference.
Amen. And Jesus is returning again. How do we know? How do we know? We stump the chump. How do we know, Pastor? Tell us how we know.
Everything that God has said and promised has come true thus far. And so it leaves us with no question, no speculation, no doubt that if he has been faithful with his track record thus far, then we know for surety that he will come again.
And I believe it's in Peter where it talks about that he is not slack in his promise. He is holding off so more people will come to him. He wants everyone to come to him. However, I think Bible talks about the end times. Naysayers are going to say, hey, you've been saying this for years. That's how I take it, you know. You've been talking about this for hundreds of years. Jesus is going to return, you know. But it's coming. It's a promise, and it is coming. It's coming.
What has happened is that people have stopped believing.
Yeah.
We saw that primarily in Judaism first because of the promised Messiah that those who missed Jesus did not see the Messiah come in for thousands of years. And so they've given up hope, a lot of them, because the Messiah has not come yet. They missed him. He has come. They missed him. And so for us in the church now, we're reaching that place of 2,000 years where it hasn't happened. So we're believing that it won't. Coupled with that is many people today, even believers, don't live as though Jesus was coming. If we really believed that Jesus was coming, it would affect the way that we live our everyday lives.
Amen. That's good. I hear the students all the time, and this may go a little far, but we don't get too. We're on a time limit here. But a lot of times the students will say, "Well, you know, I don't want him to come right now because I want to live a little life now." And I always tell them, "Look, you don't understand. I get your concern there. However, it's going to be so. We're not going to remember that. We're not going to think about that. When the Lord parts these clouds and we go spend eternity with Him, it's not going to matter."
And we discussed that yesterday too, yeah. And we're jumping all over the place, which I think is okay. But living in the expected anticipation of His promised return, mm-hmm. we live this life, but we're looking for Him to come. And I may mention that we enjoy the blessings that God has given us right now. I enjoy spending time with Jennifer. I enjoy being out in nature looking at God's creation. I enjoy those things. But when He comes, it's done. I'm laying it down. It's over with, because that will take prominence over our lives. Now, one thing that as we kind of backtrack, I think it's important for us to remember the charge yesterday. The charge was, don't be so consumed with the details of His return that we overlook the declaration that He is coming. And what I mean by that is that so often we try to spend time, well, when's it going to happen? What's it going to look like? What's going to happen after this? What if I miss it? All these things that we forget the fact the whole time out, Jesus said He's coming. And for us, that's a source of praise. As believers who are rapture ready or ready to go, and I didn't really use the word rapture yesterday, but we are ready for His return. Whatever that looks like, whenever that is a source of praise. Praise God. There's going to be an end to all of this here. Praise God we get to be with Him. And so it's a source of praise for us.
And the details, what you're talking about there, it's our expectations. I think that's where we get mixed up, and that's where we miss it a lot of times. We're expecting it to happen a certain way. You know, we may have been told that it's going to happen a certain way. But the thing is, as Paul was writing, like a thief in the night, we won't know. It's just our prerogative to be ready when it happens. He said it, and it's going to happen. Someone comes to mind, my God said it, and that settles it, whether we believe it or not. And the good thing is that we've seen time after time that everything that He's actually said, it has come to pass, and this should be no different. So we have to have our expectation level, you know, on point, just to be ready at all times.
And no matter how it happens, when it happens, one thing we know for certain, He's going to gather His church to Himself. That was one of your points yesterday. He's going to gather us as His body to Himself.
Yeah, I was looking at the Doing Life Together and Him tag in the back of the sanctuary here, and thinking about that is not just a mantra for us. That is an eternal reality. And so we will continue to do life. We will continue to do eternal life together in Him. Again, we've seen it multiple times. Every time in this series, it has come back to this. And the previous series, and it seems like even the identity before that, there has been this continual thread of the importance of the church. And so, and we're not saying that everybody has to gather, but it is important when we do. Some of you are gathering online. You're part of that every Sunday, every time, whenever you get to engage through the week, you're part of that. But it's essential for us to recognize that we are the body of Christ, and He will gather us together and protect us. And the promise of that is the duration. The promise of the duration of this is forever. It will not end. We will be with Him, with each other for eternity.
When you said yesterday about if you don't like each other now, you need to hurry up and go ahead and get used to each other, love on one another. I think about that, of course, in the local body, but I hope I don't get in trouble when I say this. When I think about denominations as well, too, you know, we have to find some kind of way to be able to realize, and this is just to everybody, I guess, that we're all on the same team. We're all serving the same Lord. And when He says, occupy until I come, the more we can do it being one, I think the more prepared we'll be for his coming when he does come back.
It helps prepare us, for sure. And that's why I'm blessed to be part of a community of faith that is so kingdom-oriented. Bay Harbor is the people are just about kingdom, not about Bay Harbor as a movement. I say Bay Harbor all the time because that's the local expression of who we are. If you're watching online, you're part of the Bay Harbor online community. But I recognize wholeheartedly that we are part of the kingdom. That's why there was within the church in the community yesterday. There was a new church plant that started with St. Simon's Community Church coming to Brunswick. I reached out to John Blankenship on Saturday night, let him know that we would be praying for him and his congregation because there's so many people in this area that need to be reached for the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was praying for another church plant that just started in the area not too long ago, Turning Point. I'm calling them by name because there's no need in hiding behind it. We are in support. We're praying for churches within our movement. We're praying for churches outside of our movement. I think about a New Life Sanctuary. I think about the different ones everywhere. We're believing for something for the kingdom. And so the more that we have a kingdom mentality here, it readies us for what eternity is going to be like. So you're point on with that. Point on with that.
Our effectiveness is greater.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've already hit on this a little bit this morning. It kind of jumps us ahead at the beginning, but Jesus' return gives believers reason to praise. We've already mentioned that in some.
But the two truths about he will come just as he promised he would, and as he comes, and that's going to be with that commanding shout, that's going to be the trumpet blast of God. Mm-hmm. And so when those things happen and he gathers us up, the dead in Christ first, then those who are alive and remain, with that will be this great reunion. And that's kind of what we've just been talking about, but the reunion not just of us now, but throughout time. And so when we begin to process what those two truths mean to us, they give us reason to praise because of his promised return. We praise the Lord. Now, this is where it gets sticky for a lot of people because I'm not ready to pray. I'm not praising for it. I'm scared of it. And I know that, and for some people, the scariness is change because people don't like change. Some people cope with it differently than others, and so just the anxiety of there being a change and the unknown causes apprehension. They may be right with the Lord. There's others that feel that trepidation towards this subject only because they're not at a place that they need to be with the Lord. Let's just be real with this. They in that you may fit into that category. That there's sins or there's habits, there's hang-ups, things that you know that you need to yield to the Lord and surrender to him, but you're not ready to. As the saying goes, you're wanting to sow your wild oats and while there's time. And the problem with that is that there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that you have that. That will happen. So we got to be ready all the time.
The praise, that topic there, my mind goes to, I know a lot of times when we talk about Jesus' return and the reason for us to of course, be thankful and praise God for. I know a lot of people look forward to maybe even seeing people that's going on in the faith, you know. But, man, the more that I sit and think about it even right now, my ticket to heaven, my salvation, the fact of Jesus' return, not only does it grant me eternity in paradise, but eternity with him, you know, for what it is that he did for me on this earth, you know, then I can't comprehend it. So now going back to when it says about, man, I just wish I had a little bit more time here on earth. I don't think we understand the magnitude of what it is to be with Jesus forever. When he walked on this earth, it was just amazing thing after we as a people didn't understand it fully and even, you know, be able to comprehend what Jesus really means to, you know, us on earth. But, man, just thinking about being with him forever, that's a thought that just blows my mind.
One of my favorite movies is Gladiator. And when I was thinking about Jesus holding back his power, I was thinking about actually some scenes within that. But one, at the beginning of the movie, very beginning, it talks about what we do today will echo in eternity. It is humbling to think that it is a life-changing decision that you make to follow Jesus Christ while you're on earth will have echoes throughout all of eternity. That what we do, the decisions that we make to follow and submit to Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, is something that will carry with us throughout past time through eternity.
And just sum it all up, Pastor, when it comes down to it, when Jesus parts the clouds and he makes that final battle cry, that is the ultimate victory for you. If you have made that, if you've made that decision, it's the ultimate victory for you. That it's over. At that point in time, there's no more struggles, there's no more pain. You are with him in heaven, and it's going to be amazing.
No more corona, no more masks.
That's enough.
No more elections.
Let's go. Yeah. Keep going. I'm about to start shouting. I'm about to run around here. Yeah. Anyway, it's good stuff. 1 John 5:4-5 says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Sums it all up. It's our faith that we're going to receive that one day. By faith, us believing, we're going to receive the final victory when Jesus parts the clouds. Whether we are out of this body, or whether we're still in this body, one day that victory is going to come to pass. And it's through the fact that I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you this morning can do the same. If you have not put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this morning is your day. Today is the day that victory can come to you through faith and knowing.
Wow. I know it's speechless. I mean, it's crazy for three preachers to be speechless, but just to be in this moment right now, to think about the magnitude of the subject we're discussing today, there's a lot of work still for us to do. We've got to earnestly work in preparation for his return, and we've also got to encourage each other, and I believe that's exactly what's happening right in this moment. That we can comfort one another with these words. That what you're going through, what you're facing right now, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you have hope. You have hope for what lies ahead. And we can, through each other, strengthen each other through our encouragement. Don't forget, Daddy's going to come and pick us up.
That was the exact thing that went through my mind 10 seconds ago. We have a hope, period. And that's the thing that unifies us as well. But that's the thing that just overwhelms my heart. That speechless moment there, that's exactly what it is. We have a hope. Out of everything in my life that seemed to be faulty, shaky ground, or whatever it is, we have a hope that Jesus is who he is, and he's coming back again.
Amen. If you want that hope this morning, maybe you haven't done so. Maybe you've never accepted him. You're sitting there in your room right now, or you're at your coffee table, or maybe in your car, or maybe you're at work and you got your headphones in and you shouldn't even be watching this. I don't know. But if you want that same hope and you don't understand what we're talking about, we can introduce you to Jesus. It will change. It will wreck your world. It'll change the rest of the life you have here on earth. It will change it, and your eternity will be changed forever. And that's amazing to me when I think about it. The number's going to be on the screen. We mean it when we say it. Call this number. Text this number. We want to lead you into a better life. We can't give you a better life, but we can lead you to the one who can give you a better life. Somebody want to pray? Pastor Maine, pray us out.
God, thank you, Lord, for this moment and giving us the opportunity to be able to lift our faces to you, God. We are so honored, we're so humbled, Father, just by what it is that you've done for us, Lord, through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And just to be real and put it plain, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we have a hope, that everything that you've promised us, Lord, you've come through on it. and that we have no reason to believe anything different, that your son Jesus is coming back to gather us. I pray that you will help us to do exactly as you said, Father, to occupy until he comes, that we work together, that we be as one, as you and your son are one. Well, doing all of that with our heads to the sky, smiling and anticipating your return, and being a light in this world as the days grow darker, even our dull lights, Lord, that they shine brighter in the midst of all that's going on, God. And we have the confidence that, again, you're coming back. I pray, Father, for anybody that's listening to this broadcast that don't know you, God, that you would show them your love in a very special way, break through to them, even if it be supernaturally, that you would just come and reach right down to them. And those who are downhearted, those who are discouraged this morning, those who may have even turned away from their faith, Father, I know that your mercy, just as it says in Psalms 23, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, Father. Help us to realize that your mercy and your goodness is still following us at this very moment. And for us to turn back and be appreciative and be just enveloped in your love. So again, we thank you. And we pray with an expectancy, God, that everything that you've even spoken to us individually, personally, those things that you promised us, Lord, that it's going to come to pass. I pray, God, also that you would just help us to, again, in these times, what's going on with the election, with coronavirus and all this that's going on, that we continue to stay rooted in you. We love you and we bless your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome job, guys. Bay Harbor family, we love you. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday night between 5 and 7 for some wonderful dinner. And I believe we're wrapping up Psalms 51 at 7 o'clock in the Bible study. So be sure to make plans now to join us there.
Yes.
Love you. Be blessed.